This is how Philip found himself in Samaria. He was among those who were scattered. Amen? And he was scattered due to the persecution. So if you go back to verse 4 of this same chapter that we are going through, you will see that those who are scattered were preaching the word in fidelity to Jesus. Even though they were fleeing from the persecution, they kept preaching the word. They kept preaching the good news of the Messiah. And so with this understanding, when you understand this, you can now read verse 5 of this same passage as Philip, for example, went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. Are we together so far? Okay, good. Because this was just an appetizer. We are going to chew the real meat now. Now, the Bible says that Philip went to Samaria and preached the gospel, the good news of the Messiah. Now, if you are a Jew in this period of time, you will hit on that word, Samaria. You will ask yourself, you mean Philip went to preach to the Samaritans? Because between the Jews and the Samaritans, there was a conflict. The Jews considered the Samaritans to be half-breed, hybrid. Because for more than 700 years, the Jews regarded the Samaritans as racially impure, religiously inferior, both as a result of intermarrying with non-Jews. And if you want to understand where this conflict started from, you can read in the Old Testament, in the book of 2 Kings 17, you can read that whole chapter. You can read in the book of Ezra, and you'll understand where the animosity between Jews and Samaritans started. And so you have to look at that closely. So there was a great animosity between these two communities. In fact, for a Jew, being called a Samaritan was an insult. It was an insult. You can look at it in John chapter 8, verse 48. When the Jews are offended by the claim of Jesus, listen to what they say to him. John chapter 8, 48. Can you put that up? It's important. John chapter 8, verse 48. I want us to read and see what these Jews told Jesus. Okay, let me just read it. The Jews answered him, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" John 8, 48, the previous verse. "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" So if a Jew wanted to throw at you his worst insult, he will just call you a Samaritan. And if I want to bring this close home, I know that since 1998, I think, there's a certain animosity between Congolese and a certain tribe in one of our neighboring countries. I won't say names. And and we blame this tribe of this neighboring country for all the trouble that happened in this part of the country. And it's really... And I remember when I was a kid how if you misbehaved or did something evil, they will just call you by the name of that tribe. They just say, "Wait, what?" I won't say names. You understand? So this is the kind of animosity that existed between the Jews and the Samaritans. And even today, it's really hard for some of us Congolese to believe that someone from that particular tribe can be a real follower of Jesus. And that's the same thing that was happening here. And so when we read now verse 14 up to 17, we see that the church in Jerusalem, when they heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John. They sent the apostle because the Bible says that the Holy Spirit did not yet come on these Samaritans. Why did God allow that? It's because he wanted to show by sending this apostle that the same spirit that fell on them on the Pentecost is the same spirit that would fall on the Samaritans. And this is where we get the biggest message that God is giving us this morning. And this message is that God gives his gift to those who believe without discrimination. And this gift is a symbol of our unity in him. That's exactly what God was doing here. Because the book of Acts, as I said before, being the account of how God is forming this church, we see that God's intention was not to have a Jewish church, and then a Samaritan church, and then a Gentiles church, and then a Lingala church, and then a hip-hop church. No, God wanted to have one church under the same spirit, one family of believers, a new people led by the Spirit of God. So the Christian unity transcends all human barriers. Because when Samaria received the word of God, one of the questions you need to ask yourself is, will they have been accepted by the Jews? But when he sent Peter and John, this was a way of God to show that this is a people, a new people, one people that I'm creating. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 19 says this very well. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostle and prophet, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. So since the church was to be built on the foundation of the apostles, the best way for God to show that the same spirit that fell on the people on Jerusalem, Jews for most of them, was the same spirit that would fall on the Samaritan who believed in Jesus after Philip's ministry. Because, friend, though they believed, they would have been most likely rejected by the Jews' believers. And so God was uniting this church. And one of my favorite scholars, his name is Art Arzudia, called this a unification by means of a divine authentication. Unification by means of a divine authentication. So it doesn't matter where you come from, what your tribe is, your social status, the color of your skin, what your haircut looks like. Some wear tight jeans, some don't like tight jeans. The shoes you buy, your country of origin, your neighborhood. Once you said yes to the message of the gospel, you become member of one tribe, one ethnical group, the Jesus tribe. Amen? Yeah. And I'm sure when God looks at our community here, he smiles because we have different people. We have people from all streams of life. Different tribes are represented here this morning, different nations. And the only thing that unites us here this morning is because we have the same spirit in us. We are here this morning as one family because we've all been marked by the Spirit of the living God through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's our label. Oneness that is not equal sameness. A unity that is not uniformity. What do I mean by that? Because our unity acknowledges our distinctions. Amen? Yeah. And now I want us to look again at this passage and look at two things very quickly. Verse 9. I want us to read again verse 9. But there was a man named Simon who had previously practiced magic in the city and amazed the people of Samaria, saying that he himself was somebody great. They all paid attention to him from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the power that is called great. Now, when we read these verses, we have to read it like before Philip's arrival in Samaria. I mean, prior to Philip's arrival in Samaria, Simon the magician was at the apogee of his influence in the city because of his magic tricks. Then came Philip, who with the powerful message of Jesus Christ shifted the current. And Simon saw his influence going down. And as we always say, if you can't beat them, you join them. And so did Simon. He decided to join. Because verse 13 says that Simon believed, but later on we see the real motivation of his belief. And we might be quick to think that Simon only represents those people who are involved in syncretism, mean they believe in Jesus, but they also do other things. They also practice other cultic things that are not in line with the message of Christ. But when I looked at this, I also look at those people who come to church for other reasons that are not Jesus, for other reasons that are not coming to worship God. And we've all have heard of people who are baptized just because they are about to get married. That happens. And for others, it may be because in church, you will easily find a good husband or a good wife. Yeah. Those are all examples of people who just have this same attitude that Simon had. Because, there's another example. Other people come to church because they need a job recommendation or all the necessary network they need to grow their businesses. And there are so many reasons why people who profess to be Christians come to church. And unfortunately, the main reason is not because they want to come worship Jesus. And I pray that God gives us the boldness to call it what it is, as Peter did. He called it a wickedness. And early this year, I was reading a book called The Pursuit of God. It was written by A.W. Tozer. And this is, I found in that book a very interesting quote, and I want to read it for us. The quote says, "The evil habit of seeking God's end effectively prevents us from finding God in full revelation. When you are seeking God and other things, you will never find God in full revelation." And Tozer continues by saying, "If we omit the end, we shall soon find God, and in Him we shall find that for which we have all our lives been secretly longing." And this is a call for introspection. Why are you here? Why do you attend services at Godmanville? Are you like Simon, who was just amazed at what Philip was doing? You know, some people just believe because they like a particular preacher. They like maybe his style, the way he dressed, and they're like, no, I just want to be like this man. Yeah. So this is a call for introspection. And now one last thing before we close. For Simon the magician to know that the Samaritans had received the Holy Spirit, there must have been some external signs. The Bible does not say it, but maybe they were all speaking in tongues, as if they were having their own Pentecost. And I hear a lot of questions. People ask a lot of questions, especially when it's come to the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. They are asking, is the Spirit that the disciple received, you know, at the day of Pentecost, the same that we receive today? And I'll say yes. And other people continue by asking, why don't we then see those powerful manifestations? Now, I want us to notice one more important thing in our passage, okay? I want us to read Acts chapter 8, verse 4 together. "Now, those who were scattered went about preaching the word." Those who are scattered went about preaching the word. And let us read as well Acts chapter 8, verse 25. "Now, when they had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem," doing what? "Preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans." I don't know if you noticed that pattern. Because here's the point I want to make. The point I want to make is the most obvious and most distinctive mark of people who have received God's gift is their zeal to share it. They are witnesses. The people who have received God's gift are witnesses. And you can look at this even from the day of Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit fell on the disciples, they didn't look at each other shouting, "Hey, John, I can speak Chinese. Me too. Xi shang wa." No. They didn't look at each other doing that. They went and they started preaching the gospel. Okay? Because the most obvious and most distinctive mark of people who have received God's gift is their zeal to share it. They are witnesses. God's gift was not given to us so that we keep it for ourselves. And Jesus himself, when speaking about the coming of the Holy Spirit, said this word in the book of John. John chapter 15, verse 26. Can we read that? John 15, verse 26. It says, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me." That's it. He will bear witness about me. And I'm not saying that all of us are called to be preachers or pastors. Okay? This is just a reminder of the primary reason God gave us his gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you want to be practical, we just need to ask ourselves simple questions like this one. Does your life reflect the presence of God's Spirit within you? Are you the only one at your workplace, in your family, in your friend circles who knows you are a Christian? Do people see the characters of God in you? And by this I mean the fruit of the Spirit. Do your business practices reflect that God's Spirit dwells within you? Can people describe you as a godly person? And I'm not saying perfect. I'm saying godly. And so, those are just questions to make us think. Because that's what happens when you receive the gift of God. You share it. You witness through your life, through your word, through your action. And early this year, I was having a very interesting conversation with a brother. His name is Sam. And he contacted me on WhatsApp. I don't know if we will be able to see that chat. He gave me permission to share this with you, so it's okay. And this is just to show you what happens when we allow the Spirit of God to work in us. And so he contacted me. I didn't know who he was. I just saw someone writing to me on WhatsApp, and he asked me, "Hey, how are you?" I was like, "Yeah, I'm fine." And then, "I'm also well." And then he said, "Thanks to Jesus, you're still at Calvary Chapel." I said, "No, I was at chapel, at Nairobi Chapel, but I'm back in DR Congo." And then he asked me if I remembered him. And I said, "Not yet." And then he said, "I'm Samuel. You are doing mission work with a certain white man. I don't remember his name. Along Gong Road. He was a Kaka security. He was working for the KK security company." And then he said, there's a mall called Forest View. You brought good news to me as I was working as a security guard there." And so, immediately, I remembered this guy. And it was a long time. You know, it was in 2015, second half of 2015, that we went and preached to this guy. And then, almost 3 years later, on a January of 2018, 12th January, I see him contacting me. I'm telling you, I was so shocked. I was so shocked. Why? Because the day we shared the gospel with him, he didn't say yes to Jesus immediately. He didn't say yes to Jesus. What he did is, we just prayed for him and exchanged number. And I completely forgot him. And then, almost three years later, he contacted me. I will tell you, I was so happy to receive this. And we can see even the next what follows after? And I was like, oh, Samuel, I remember you, Lenana, right? And how have you been? And he said, I have been safe in the Lord, though I no longer work there. So he's no longer a KK security guy. And I said, wow, I'm glad. And I asked him, what are you up to nowadays? And he said, I am in Machakos County, Matu Town. I'm a church verger in ACK church here. Amazing. This guy moved from being a guard to a church worker. And this is just to show you that you have no idea. You have no idea what could happen if we only allowed God's Spirit to work in us. We need to stop looking for manifestations, but rather allow the Spirit of God to work in us. Someone is waiting for you to just share the gospel with him to see his life changed forever. And that's our message this morning. This is what I felt that God wanted me to share with you. And I pray that God may give us that strength again to allow his Spirit to work in us. Amen. Yes, let's pray. Father God, thank you again for your word, and thank you for speaking to us this morning. We again commit ourselves in your hand and pray that, Father, we may allow your Spirit to work in us. We pray that, Father, you may fill us afresh again so that we may be witnesses, because that's our mission. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name.